guys.
Hey, y'all.
We're alive. We were not kidnapped by the Scientologists.
Yes, I know it may have seemed that way because we were gone for an eternity.
It was, I think it was like 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, good God, the people are going to want to know.
We have left them hanging in a terrible fashion, but we have good reasons.
Yes, it was my turn for a breakdown.
So I think we both had breakdowns. Catherine had the first week's breakdown.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, this is our hobby. We have lots of other shit going on in our lives. So when, you know, if one of us is having a breakdown.
Or just like, it's just not the week.
And it's just not the week. We want to bring you guys quality content.
Exactly.
You don't want to hear us be meh.
Like, and did you know that in the church... You know, that's not why we, no, that would actually be really funny if we somehow did an episode like that, but I don't think it would be as fun.
No, not as fun for you guys. Well, maybe if you enjoy our pain, then I guess.
Yeah, the true believers in our cult.
Yes. So then the week after that, I was supposed to be in Austin, Texas for a wedding because my friends Danielle and Stephanie were getting married.
Yay!
And then the winter storm hit and all of
winter
the flights got canceled and the wedding got postponed to July. But congratulations to them because after the fact we found out that they had already gotten secretly married anyway.
Oh, that's so nice.
So yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
But then that got canceled. I decided
to go. Yeah, and you didn't have your recording equipment, obviously, because.
And then what?
I guess this is week three. Well, you became a big sister again.
I have a half brother that just came yesterday. This is not a human baby. This is a four-legged, fluffy white nugget.
An absolute angel, like he can fit in your hand.
I would die for him.
Pictures. We'll post a photo and you will understand why.
So
it was so much to take in.
We have valid reasons for our delay, but we're here now. Oh, and this is Miss Murder. Welcome
to Miss Murder. Yes,
this
absolutely.
This is a shit show and you're here and you love it because you
love this shit show.
You live for the chaos.
Let me look up her name. I want to give her a shout out.
Tell us.
In Canada.
Yes.
Pew, 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 pew. And shout out to Jordan in Canada, sent us a case recommendation and gave us a follow on Instagram. And I was having a really, really, really bad day. And then I opened her message on our account and I was like, oh my God, people actually like what we do. They like us. Thank you. So that definitely helped my day get through my day a little.
Thank you, Jordan. One retweet equals one Catherine life save.
Cue the angel music of Sarah McLaughlin. I can't fucking say your last name. I don't know why. I can say it when I'm not recording.
But you just said it. You said it.
McLaughlin? Yeah, McLaughlin. This is growth. This is me overcoming the impediments of the Charlotte Mecklenburg school system.
Yes. We love to see academic and linguistic growth.
Oh, yes.
Love it.
Everything our system did not strive for.
No, it did not. But yeah.
But we're here.
So, last time we left off, Catherine told us the batshit spectacular tale of Elrond and his fucking Scientology aliens.
Which is literally the biggest fuck you to publishers. You didn't want to publish my book? Fuck you. I'm going to make it an entire religion and I'm going to be the Messiah.
Yes.
That's pretty much what happened. It was a lot. And to reflect my week of my breakdown. Depression is an alibi. I no longer need it.
Cut off the foot.
Cut off. Your foot is an alibi. It's no longer needed. He was the original white male influencer of manifestation.
I hate it. I hate Elrond. And so...
Oh. But and you're going to hate this week, too.
Yeah, because what's his name? The little protege motherfucker with
little
his
David.
Wife. David. Was his wife named Shelly?
Michelle, but she goes by Shelly.
Okay,
that's
okay.
That's her nickname.
I remember it because I've been
it's been stewing in your mind. It and it's probably been stewing in everybody else's mind.
I literally think I read, like, all 10 pages of your notes to my parents the day after because I was like, you will not believe this shit.
And that just barely scratches the surface. Like, I didn't even talk about, like, what is it, the 8 or 10 point Scientology cross. There's like all this other shit out there. It's just a rabbit hole.
It is just what we merely provided a jumping off point.
Yes.
And all of you beautiful crime loving pals want to also
take a
go
little jump
and dive right into that rabbit hole.
Go right ahead.
Go right ahead. At
We're
your
here
own
holding, holding your hand as we are clear and you have to reach the status of clear.
Yes. Well, I'm excited and ready.
Yes. All right. So we talked about Elrond the last episode. He was a bitter bitch who wanted his book published, said it was so good that everybody who read it died or went insane. It's a great way to advertise your book. And he created his religion. He created the Sea Org to live out his Navy memories and had a creepy Nazi vibe
very
going
Nazi,
on with recruiting
weird.
The young girls to personally serve him.
Ugh.
And then as he got older, legal issues came up, like, oh, this dude's evading taxes. This is a little suspicious. And we ended the episode with David Miscavige rising as the new leader of Scientology. So just a little recap on David.
Oh, yes.
Fuck it, David.
Fuck it, David.
So his family joined Scientology after he went through an audit session. He was young. He was like 8, 9, 10, something like that.
Yeah.
And this auditing session supposedly cured his allergies and asthma. So the family was like, oh, this is the one. Saving money on medical bills. This is our religion. Thank you, Elrond. So little David progressed. He became a professional auditor at 12 years old. And I just imagined, like, a little 12-year-old kid interrogating a grown adult.
Yeah, so...
That's pretty much all it is.
I can't even, like, say anything without crying. Like, if I'm... I can't even ask a question without feeling like I'm going to tear up.
Exactly. That's why everybody's like, oh, you're in school for criminal justice. Are you going to be a lawyer? No.
No.
I will cry.
I will
just
cry.
Sitting in the courtroom as, like, a member of the, you know, just sitting in the pews watching. I'm like, oh, God, I feel attacked and I'm not on trial. This, I don't have the emotional capacity for
you
it. I'm
not,
sorry.
You do not, and I do not. So.
As a grown adult, I recognize that and I accept that and will therefore not push that envelope.
So you know what? David had a promising little protege vibe.
Yeah, no, instead of pushing the envelope, he was fucking ripping it up.
He was ripping it.
He was ripping it. So in 1976, David joined the Sea Org when he was 16 years old.
Hello,
little
baby.
Yes, I have my little kitty Athena here.
We have another guest today. This time it is of the feline variety.
Oh, I wonder if I can get her to purr into the mic. Oh, okay, she doesn't want to be picked up. Okay.
Catherine's cats do not actually like cat.
Yeah, it's, you know what, I've accepted it. She's chilling on there on my yoga mat. That's all I need.
That's all you need.
And then she'll look at me to pet her, and then she'll just, like, you know, move away. And I'm like, but you just...
No, but it's not as good as Mason, like, literally, like, I don't even know, like, what is this shape called? He turns into a U, so that
he's
so
like
that
a
cat's
little...
hand will not touch him.
Yes, my mom's cat is very temperamental. That's her son. Because I don't have O'Malley. Any brothers. Sir Mason O'Malley, yes. Follow that is
on Instagram.
She does have an Instagram. She hasn't posted on it in a while, but you can see he's a thick furred cat.
He's thick.
She's so not, like, honestly, she's not exaggerating, because we had to get him shaved, like a little lion shave, and he's so tiny without all of his fur because it's so thick and poofy. Yeah. I looked at him and I was like, oh my god, you're like a third of your size now.
He's slim thick.
With that winter coat.
Yes.
He's got the pantaloons going on.
What a king. What a king. I love him.
Oh, what a...
All right, where were we?
I'm so sorry. Oh, yes, the sea orc.
I got distracted by the cat.
We're always distracted by animals. We welcome it. So, Miscavige was 16 when he joined the sea org, which it contains the highest ranking members of Scientology on this boat. That is where you sign a $1 billion year commitment to... Or no, not billion dollar, a billion year long contract.
Right.
I mean, you probably do have to pay $1 billion at the end of the day.
Probably.
But they're for the highest ranking members of Scientology. But David, he went to even the upper crust of that upper crust society.
Oh, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 indeed. So the Commodore messengers, they personally served L. Ron Hubbard.
Them were the little Nazi youths.
Yes. And like last week, no Nazis. If your idea is influenced by the Nazis,
it's not the
Because L. Ron was like, hey, I'm going to take these young teenagers because they're separated from their parents. Like, their parents, like, willingly sent them onto this ship for, like, you know, 12 years old. Like, oh, okay, go off on this ship. Like, this is an honor. And just, they had no parents. So he became, like, their creepy father figure. And said that, oh, these kids are, like, young blank slates. I can put these impressions on them like Hitler did with having the Hitler Youth. Like, that was a brilliant idea.
No.
Ooh, no. No, 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 no. No, sir. So, yeah, David became one of those.
I thought it was only young girls, though.
It was mostly girls, but there were guys.
Oh, okay.
It was typically a mix, but he specifically was like, he had more women than men because women were considered more loyal.
More loyal, right. I'd say that.
So they helped oversee the management of the ship and served L. Ron, did his errands for him. So they became the 1% of the 1%. So then in 1977, a year later, David started working with Hubbard on creating training films for Scientology. And if you remember last episode, when Hubbard's health was starting to decline, this is when David Miscavige started, like, getting the roots in on taking over the church.
Right.
And so I watched, like, 4 episodes of Leah Remini's Scientology show.
I just added it to my Netflix queue.
Very good. Highly recommend. These interviews are crazy. So, and the thing about her is that she was 9 years old when she joined the church. So she grew up in Scientology. It wasn't like, you know, I guess with a lot of celebrities that we see, they're like, they either grow up in it or they decide to join it and like as a young adult.
Yeah.
But yeah, she literally grew up with Scientology, which is another reason why her break was a huge deal.
Right.
So they interviewed John Brousseau, who had left the church in 2010. He was a former Sea Org member, and he also was Hubbard's personal driver. And so John and David, they were brothers-in-law because Shelley's sister was married to John.
Okay.
So that's how they're connected.
Got it.
So he had a firsthand account of how David, like, slowly took power. Mm-hmm. So if you remember last episode when I talked about the Guardian's office and they had Operation Snow White.
Oh, which right, was, to clear all of the bad press and stuff about the church.
They're going
to
get rid of any and all documents
evidence. They wanted to break into the FBI and the CIA.
Yes, breaking into, like, the IRS, like, federal buildings to destroy this evidence.
Dummies.
So Mary Sue, who was L. Ron's wife, was in charge of the Guardian's office.
Wait, was this the girl that was 18 or something that he was cheating on his other wife with, his first wife, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I think he had three wives. The first wife I never brought up. If I'm remembering it correctly, I might be wrong. But he had the first wife. And then he got with his friend's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the one that we talked about. And then we also talked about how he cheated on her with
an 18-year-old. I think this is that. Okay. I think this is that girl. Yes. I'm trying to remember. But I'm pretty sure this is her.
It was three.
Fine. So, because of Operation Snow White, the government's like, oh, we're going to start, you know, seeing what's going on with this Scientology church. It's a little funny. So, David Miscavige used this to his advantage. So, he got with John Brousseau, and David organized a meeting with Mary Sue. Mm-hmm. And with John's help, they recorded this meeting. Of David having this conversation with Mary Sue. And basically, the goal was to essentially bully and manipulate her to step down and get out of power.
And this was after L. Ron died.
What year did L. Ron die? Because I think this was before L. Ron died, actually.
Because he was, like, in hiding and stuff. Like, not even his wife had heard of
him. Correct. Hubbard didn't die until 86.
But he wasn't, like, the public head of the church.
Right. He was still the head of the church, but, like, where's L. Ron? We don't know. He did this without L. Ron knowing.
Mutiny.
The Galactic Confederacy. All over again.
No.
What was Julie's favorite phrase? The loyalty officers. That's what they were. Yeah. That's what they were. The loyalty officers.
That's what it was. The loyalty officers.
So, let's see. So, in 1981, this is when Mary Sue stepped down, and she ended up having to serve a year in prison because she was found guilty of the crimes associated with Operation Snow White.
Oh, shit. Just a year, though?
Just a year. Okay. So Mary Sue stepped down. Mm-hmm. And then in 1986, this is when Hubbard discarded his body because it was preventing him from doing his work.
Right.
So David Miscavige was the one that announced that to everybody. And this is when he started asserting his power. So one of the things that they talked about in the show is Leah Remini was like, yeah, there was always at these events, it was, you would see the same, I don't know, 10 elite people at every event, like, or every important event, you would see these same 10 people. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden those 10 people were gone and it was a whole new set of people.
Oh
yeah. So he basically cleared out all these different departments. So the author services, the Religious Technology Center, the Church of Scientology International, the Church of Spiritual Technology, and the International Association of Scientologists. He got out any and all threats to his power. And two people, mutiny from the loyalty officer.
The loyalty officer.
So two people that posed this most significant threat to David taking power were Pat and Annie Broker.
Yeah,
because they were the closest to Hubbard, because even when he was in hiding, they knew where he was.
Right.
So they interviewed on the show Gary Jackson Moorhead, who was he's a former member, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he's recalled the day after Hubbard died, there was a pamphlet that was distributed out on the Sea Org. And it said that Pat and Annie were basically the new, like, they're listed as, I think it was, like, first loyalty officer and second loyalty officer. Uh-huh. So, like, they're in charge pretty much. Right. And then the next day, Gary was told to round up all of those pamphlets and destroy them. Because, it was an error.
Right.
Just a clerical error.
Just a clerical error of announcing our next two leaders.
Right.
Makes
sense. And one of the things that I read is that Elrond, he wanted the church to be run by a committee after he had died instead of just one person.
Right.
So that's part of why David, like, got out all of the high-ranking members, and that's why he decided to chop down Pat and Annie.
Right, because in a council setting like that, you know, we've got democracy.
I always think of Star Wars when I hear the council. Yeah,
the council. And he would have just been outvoted. They would have never.
Exactly. You know, Samuel L. Jackson would not have tolerated his shit.
He would not have tolerated it. He would have been like, this motherfucking David Miscavige.
Yoda would have been tired of his shit, too.
Motherfucking ship or whatever. Not the right Samuel L. Jackson movie.
But same energy.
Same energy. We're just going to go with it. We love a consistent energy. Yes, King.
Yes. Absolutely. Take a shot, because I said absolutely. So, Pat and Annie, they ran Creston Ranch with other high-ranking Scientology officials. And this is where Elrond supposedly lived out the rest of his life. And one of the reasons it was so easy for David to gather up those pamphlets and say, it was an error, is because Pat and Annie were extremely isolated, both physically and socially, from everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that doesn't even seem like they'd be a great fit to be the public heads of the organization anyway, because if they're all, you know,
MIA. Yeah, because I think they were serving him, like, right up until he died, right. And then... So they didn't really have any allies, I guess. Yeah,
it was just a way of putting it. The perfect recipe for an uprising.
Yes, for David to take that uprising. Yes, because David Miscavige, he had the whole Sea Org. He had lawyers. He had allies. Everything he needed to take the throne. I can't roll my R's. I tried.
Throne.
Thank you.
Ready.
So Miscavige basically raided this ranch that they were living on, and every single person except John Brousseau, who helped him record that meeting with Mary Sue, they were sent to the Rehabilitation Project Force.
What exactly is the Rehabilitation Project Force? That is a mouthful. Holy fuck.
Yeah, it's a punishment and re-education program for Sea Org members who have violated Scientology policy, were unproductive, and carried hidden evil intentions.
But really, that's exactly what David did. He belonged in the Rehabilitation Project Force camp thing. Nazis. No.
And the program has been compared to the Soviet Union's forced labor camps. Because when they punish people, they don't give them manual labor. They give them hard labor.
Damn.
I'll get into it.
Literally, all of these things that they do not align at all with, like, their mission statement or what their, like, enlightenment and being brothers with man and all living kind or whatever it is. It doesn't add up.
Yeah, like, when you read their website, it's just a bunch of words, but what does it mean? What does it mean? So, Pat ended up leaving Scientology. Annie filed for divorce. She kicked him to the curb. But remain in Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things you have to do when you leave Scientology, I think they call it dissent.
Mm-hmm.
I have it somewhere in my notes. But you cannot have contact with anybody that has left the church. It's like the Amish where you shun them, but right. I think more extreme.
Interesting.
Yes. So with the brokers out of the way, David is now head of the Religious Technology Center. He's named himself the chairman. And he's also referred to as COB, Chairman of the Board. I don't know why.
I know. He's really got to have his, you know, his like title. On his name tag, David Miscavige, COB.
Yeah.
You know.
What's one letter away from SOB, so.
It's, yeah.
That would have been, that works. That would have been a great prank. You that know?
So, oh, man. They would like, not have been happy.
They would have snuck into his little office while he was asleep and then just, like, make, you know, those little labels.
The other members of Scientology trying to bully David out of the position.
Annie and Pat were like, oh.
Oh, he wants to be COB?
Yeah. Let me show you that you really the SOB. And then they put the little letters with a label maker on his name.
Yeah. They like.
And then he's walking around all proudly throughout the.
Look at me. David Miscavige.
And everybody's just snickering.
I know. It's like the kick me signs that nobody ever put on anybody's back in high school.
No. We just slapped each other on the neck. And then yelled.
Yeah, we did. It was happy crack.
Oh God! You know what? Sometimes I judge the Gen Zers, but then I remember who we were as.
But we also didn't really have the full power of the internet, so we could still do really stupid shit like that and not.
But
you know,
even without the power of the internet, this stuff like. Was widespread somehow.
That's
so we
true.
Had true power.
Yes.
True power. Like
we're
Britney
the original
Spears.
Officers.
Yes.
Of trends.
I love the Gen Zers though, I gotta say.
TikTok's great.
I am a
makes me feel old.
To all of their lingo. I bought some mom jeans because you know skinny jeans are out. I have my hair is currently in a middle part.
See, I try doing my hair in a middle part, and it accentuates my forehead so much. Julie, she's got like a cute little forehead.
I have like a three head though. Like my forehead,
I'm like four and a half.
You are four and a half.
Like I can fit my
you
thumb
can do
on
five.
There.
Okay, so
yeah,
I can
do five.
With like on this with the middle part.
Yeah, so like my little side bang, no, I'm not going to put my forehead out there for everyone to be in shock at. Come on now.
Yeah. That's the only thing that they got wrong.
Truly. Like, you know how in the early 2000s, like the villains in those teen movies had those annoying like little wispy bangs with the middle part? That's what I look like. Like, and I'm not going to embarrass myself like that. I'd rather be mistaken for an old woman than that.
It's tragic, honestly.
It is.
It is.
But not as tragic as this story.
No.
It's going to get so much worse. Oh my God. Proceed with the tragedy. So one of the methods that David used, now that he's taken power, he's got to assert it.
Right.
So Moorhead, who I mentioned earlier, who had to gather up all those pamphlets, he said that he was assigned to work at a remote base in Happy Valley, California. This place was not very happy. Great way to deceive people.
Oh, yeah.
Because David Miscavige put all these people in a van and it's like, oh, we're going to Happy Valley. No. It's not happy.
No. It's like.
Because when David came out of the van, he told Moorhead that all of these people needed to be guarded and that he had to report everything they said, everything they did, like literally writing down what they're saying, you know, what they're like writing out, I guess, their actions. Like, oh, I noticed A and B were like talking like complete spying surveillance on these people.
That's a lot of pressure to put on one person.
Yes. And this was supposed to serve as like a corrective program. So these people had to perform hard labor.
Right, right.
And so during the interview, Moorhead was saying like, oh, you're going to have to cut down this tree, but we're not going to give you a chainsaw. We're not even going to give you, well, we'll give you a handsaw. No. What we're going to do is we're going to hand you these little modified handsaws that you have to use to cut down this massive tree.
Like tiny handsaws?
Yeah, like little baby handsaws.
Just like, pew, 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 pew.
Exactly. Like, they're like, well, it cuts. It'll cut down a tree if you try hard enough. That's what they did.
That's really inspirational.
Yeah. See, physical labor, not my thing.
No.
I would just...
It's like
I know where I would be sent. Yeah. I'll bring it up when we get there. I know where they would send me. They would hate me. So, David, this is also when David Miscavige starts physically beating people.
What the fuck?
And he's a little guy. David Miscavige is not...
I'm going to look him up.
He's not some towering menace. This dude is 5'3".
Literally.
This guy is 5'3", beating the shit out of all these people around him.
Short men really have the audacity.
David Miscavige truly has the audacity. Because he's just beating the shit out of people that annoy him left and right.
Oh, he looks like a rat. He looks like Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah.
He looks like Peter Pettigrew when he's not in his rat form.
Yeah, it's like if David Pettigrew, like, actually graduated Hogwarts and then, like, decided to join the Ministry of Business or some shit.
Ew, why did he dye his hair this disgusting blonde color?
Because he's got to stay cool and hip with the kids these days.
I hate it. I hate every
look at this youthful, eccentric man that's 5'3". Doesn't he scream modernity?
Modernity. Oh, God. He was definitely overcompensating. So
he was. And Moorhead described Miscavige as a psychopathic individual in how he deals with people.
Oh, good. That's good. That's who you want leading your church.
Yeah, we want a tiny psychopath.
Like Lord Farquaad.
Perfect. Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
David,
well,
yeah.
You know.
Ripping the legs off a gingerbread man.
Yeah, you know, it's supposed to be a perfect place. And he makes the soldiers fight to the death.
Some of you may die, but it is a sacrifice I am willing to make. We actually watched it the other night because my cat Athena, who popped in earlier, she's a horse girl. She is straight up a horse girl.
Oh,
anything with animals, especially horses, she will like jump up onto like the counter where the stand of the TV and just like look up and she's just like, oh my God. So, you know, she was really into donkey.
This is
so we kept it on.
This is the best thing that you've ever said to me in our 10 plus years of friendship. This is the one.
Because I think my mom and my sister were watching it just because it was on and like background noise. And then Athena just like jumped up on the TV counter and she's like looking and like donkey's on the screen walking by flirting with dragon. And then she's looking at the dragon like, oh my God, it's a big horse with wings.
I love that.
It's so cute. She's a little angel. She's a little derpy angel.
So derpy.
She looks like she's high all the time.
Well, you know.
It's so cute.
Some of us be
like. She's got that little, like, huh, look in her eye. So, yes, David Miscavige. Our Lord Farquaad.
Do.
What if we did face Lord?
What?
What if we did a face morph of Lord Farquaad and David Miscavige? I feel like we should do that in post.
I'm on it.
Yes. All right. Julie's giving the people, by the people I mean me, what I want.
Yes.
So, as the head of Scientology, so
do I do the future baby maker app? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Continue.
Scientology is going to hate us. They're going to bully us.
They are.
And then I'm just going to say that their bullying is an alibi and I don't need it anymore.
Don't need it anymore.
I'm already depressed. Thank you. JK, I'm fine. I'm actually fine. Please don't worry about me. I'm 100% okay now. I'm not just saying that.
Convince Catherine.
I will tell you that I'm okay because I cleaned my bedroom. I cleaned the bathroom. I started cooking actual meals. I have a little workout space with my yoga mat. I'm okay. I got out of my rut. I feel better. I'm like so much happier now that I want to see the Lord Farquaad David Miscavige mashup.
Yes. Okay. I'll keep working on it.
Okay. Well, I kind of want to like wait so you get a genuine reaction, and then you have to send it to me, and then I'll put it on the Instagram.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay, I think that I've got it.
Oh, Julie's face.
That's so disturbing.
Oh, her face.
This is the scariest thing I've ever hold on, I'm about to show you.
Oh God, I'm not ready, should but I'm ready.
Should I send it to you or should I hold it up to the screen?
Oh, send it to me so I can have full clarity. Oh my God, I'm so disturbed.
We'll post our creation.
Why does he have two jawlines?
I don't know.
I say this is the alien overlord.
Yes.
That Scientology needs.
Deserves. This is who John Travolta should have played.
I did actually read while I was trying to like find like news articles that he was getting shit for not speaking out against the shit Scientology has done.
Oh. He don't even know where he is half the time, so it is what it is. At
oh
this point.
Man. So David Miscavige, yeah. Head of Scientology, yes. He is now living on Gold Base, which is the other high-ranking members of Scientology. And from the promotional videos they have, it looks like a cute little retirement area. You got your identical townhouses, you got the clubhouse. I guess there's a pool because it's California. But it's not. It's not. Gold Base has been turned into a fortress.
Oh, Jenny! I know, I was looking at her.
Oh. She left.
She ran. She's
gone. And she ran so far away. Mm. Great.
With a shot, as Catherine sang.
So Gold Base. Trying to get back to the matter. I have so many notes on this. Is basically a prison.
Right.
So Moorhead, who from the Sea Org rounded up the pamphlets, had to deal with the people in the van, he became the head of security. And he realized he had been so brainwashed to believe that what he was doing it to actually help the people living on the base. So one of the things he did on this handy-mandy day to work was install Ultra Barrier. And what is Ultra Barrier, kids?
Do tell us, Catherine.
Razor wire!
Oh, no.
Razor wire around the base. The fences.
So legit a prison.
The fences have, like, shake detectors. So if someone is touching a fence, it will detect the motion and show that somebody is, you know, touching the fence.
You know,
and then you know
really
what would happen next?
Make such an effort to have people not want to leave where your little community must not be very good. Must not be very positive.
Because these motion detectors on the fence would activate stadium lights. Like the lights they use at football stadiums. At soccer stadiums. Yeah.
It'll blind a bitch.
And they also had infrared cameras and microphones installed in the ground.
That's insane, dude.
And it became all about keeping people in, but then keeping people out.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go, if you, I don't know if you're chosen to live on Gold Base because it's also very prestigious. The first thing that you do as soon as you get on Gold Base is you take the Intelligence Base and Security PR course. And this tells you how to lie to the authorities if they ever make it onto the base.
Mm-hmm.
And say, oh, everything's fine. Like, there's nothing. Like, oh, we're really happy here. Like, another red flag right there.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And so when you lived on the base, you know, you had to help run everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturdays were for renovations. And this is where you would install more ultra barrier, put more microphones in the ground, upkeep and maintain all the security.
How much of that do you really need?
I guess a lot.
I guess so.
Yeah, because when you look at photos, you're like, that's not designed to keep people out. That's designed to keep people from getting out.
Right. Yikes.
And so on Gold Base, there are 300 telephones. And security has access and controls all of it. So, you know, because you can't just pick up the phone and say, oh, hi, mom, blah, blah, blah. It's like you have to call. I guess they had like a call center reception. You had to call the reception and say, I want you to dial this number. And that person would dial, almost like an operator.
Operator, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure this person is there to listen to your phone call, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm assuming that, but
I think that would be a pretty good assumption to make.
And if you wanted to call 911, guess what?
What?
Security would basically turn that off, so you could not call 911.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. So telephones, you know you're going to be listened to. So let's write each other letters. Well, all mail that comes into Golden Base and all mail that goes out from Golden Base are opened in red.
How is this legal?
Yeah.
It's like they just like forfeit their... Right.
Well, I think this is also part of that hush hush. We don't speak about it until we're out.
Out. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I think. There might be another.
It's crazy though, because clearly all this information's out there, and this Golden Base is in the U.S. Like the government must know about it. I guess it's not like priority.
Well, I'll get to that too, because the FBI. So I will get to that in the FBI. Yeah. And also on the base, there are security. There's like SUV security cars. And then there's also like security motorcycles that patrol the base. So with all of this security, if you want to leave, say you have to, and I think they're very specific about the events you can go to. Like, I think one woman was talking about how she needed to go visit a family member in a hospital. You have to file a petition, and then this petition has to be approved by, you know, a certain number of people, I guess, up the rank.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if now it's completely mandatory, but they said sometimes you have to have a buddy from the base go with you. So that person watches you to make sure you don't go AWOL.
That is, oh my God, that's excessive.
And if you do somehow manage to go AWOL, the buddy will report back and Scientology will say, nope. Nobody's going, like the example they gave when I was watching the Lee Remini show is like, oh, this person escaped at LensCrafters. We're no longer going to LensCrafters. We're going to go to, you know, we're only going to go to this eye provider now. Like, just seal it off and move on to the next thing because somebody escaped.
Weird.
But if you're living on the base and you somehow manage to get past all the security, like the ultra barrier, the mm-hmm. stadium lights, the nearest civilization for you to get help is 4 to 5 miles away.
Oh, wow. So is it
like... And they're like in, they're kind of like out in the desert.
Yeah, I was about to say, is it in the desert of California?
Yeah, it's like weird desert forest, you know? Mm-hmm. Geography is not...
It's not.
Landscaping is not my best. There's sand, dirt, and trees.
Yeah.
And civilization is 4 to 5 miles away. So even if you do somehow manage to get off the base, it's very likely that you're going to get picked up by one of the patrol bikes or one of the patrol SUVs. And then they're going to punish you with heavy manual labor.
Right.
And also, if you do manage to leave the base, it's set up like a cult where you have no money, you have no education, no resources. So you have nothing. Nothing.
You have to depend on the religion to mm-hmm. like keep
to fulfill afloat. Those needs. Yeah. So if somebody escapes the base, they have what they call the blow drill to try to get these people back.
Uh-huh.
And a blow drill happens when somebody makes an unauthorized departure. And these people, they consider them a threat to Scientology. And David Miscavige, during the interview, they said he was paranoid about people leaving. He probably still is paranoid about people leaving, because the people that were leaving, they likely saw him abusing his power, abusing people. And that's why they're considered a threat.
Yeah.
So they assembled teams. This is like the anti-Avengers.
Uh-huh.
They assembled teams. So Team Alpha, I'm making this up, the names, not what they do. So we'll say Team Alpha.
Okay.
They're like, all right, Team Alpha, you have to go listen to the taxi scanner services, the taxi service scanners.
Scanner, yeah.
To see if anybody, hear if anybody has been picked up near a location. Group Beta, you guys are going to check out the bus stations, check flights. You're going to check the airports. You're going to check any public transportation. And you're going to see if anybody has seen this person we're looking for. And then Group C, whatever they call C, they're the ones that are going to be checking out the hospitals to see if anybody has been admitted. They're going to check out the hotels to see that if you've checked in there. And they're going to check all the motels to see if you're there. And if they find you, if they call in and say, yeah, we have this person, we have them at this hotel, what they do, they send a person you are close with to the hotel to persuade you to come back.
I am speechless.
But it doesn't end there. This is like the worst Shazam commercial. There's more.
There's more.
There's more. Or, whoa. Billy Mays. The ShamWow. That's what it was. The stupid ShamWow towel. So what they do, while these teams are searching, they pull up all your personal information. They pull up your birth certificate, driver's license. They start finding out who your parents are. They find out where your parents live. And they will send someone to your relative's home to
this
watch.
This is literally organized crime.
Like, they will send someone in a car parked near the house and watch the house to see if you show up.
Yikes.
Yes. And so Moorhead was in charge of all of this. And he thought he was... He genuinely thought, yeah, we're doing this to help people because we want to get people clear. We want to, like, he still had that optimism. But what broke him, his wife was allegedly pressured by Scientology to abort her pregnancy.
Oh.
Which she did.
And what was the reason?
So, because it, I tried to get clarification on this. So I think it's for Sea Org members because Moorhead and his wife, they were Sea Org members. Mm-hmm. And Sea Org members, they, while they'll have children like 12, 10, you know, like that kind of age, they think younger children, like infants and newborns that need that constant attention, they get in the way of the mission.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because I guess because instead of putting all your energy into this illegal manual labor for, like, you know, you're instead of putting in 15-hour labor days, you have to take care of this child.
Right. It's a burden.
Yeah. And pressured abortions is a whole other rabbit hole in Scientology. Like, there's, it's a whole rabbit hole if you want to go down that.
Yeah.
And if you were on the Sea Org and you did want to have children, you would have to leave the ship. And going to the ship is the is an honor. So if you decide to leave that, then that's kind of, that's like, disgrace. Why would you do that? Yeah, disgrace. So Moorhead, he thought, you know, I'm the head of security on Golden Base. I work hard. They know me. I'm a good person. Maybe if I talk to them, they'll make an exception. Like, you know, they know
me.
They
didn't.
And it didn't. And he said that he had to tell his wife to have an abortion. And it was so sad when he was talking about that, because you could, like, it just has eaten away at him so much. Like, there was so much regret and disappointment when he was saying that. And, like, he still hasn't forgiven himself.
Yeah, that's evil.
Yeah. And so now Moorhead is considered a security risk, because he had also heard and seen David Miscavige misbeating people. He's in charge of security. And one thing that the church tries to do when people leave is they spin it so that if you leave, you're not the victim, you're the abuser.
Mm-hmm, right.
So you were the one abusing people, and that's why we kicked you out. And Mike Rinder, who co-hosts the show with Leah Remini, his ex-wife went, there's a famous interview of four ex-wives of Scientology with Anderson Cooper. She was one of them. And they went on the show and they're like, no, David Miscavige never abused anyone. Like, that never happened. They're lying. And so on top of all of this security, David has made another addition to Golden Base called The Hole.
Stop.
And this is a compound on Golden Base that punishes church executives. It's a set of double-wide trailers with bars on the windows. Now, Brousseau, who was brother-in-law with David, he said that the hole was originally set up. They're like, oh, we thought we were setting up an office for a temporary headquarters. And he realized that he was enabling Miscavige because John was the one putting the bars on the windows. Oh, you know, because they're still thinking, oh, we have to do this great thing to help. We're doing this to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only one entrance, one way in, one way out, and that's the front entrance. And there are boards. So there's bars on the windows, but there's also boards.
Mm-hmm.
And the boards have only a gap of 4.5 inches between each board. So if you do manage to get one off, you're going to have to take off multiple if you want to even try to break through. And there's also 24/7 security guard. So people are sleeping on the floor. They're being fed, like, leftovers. And what is this quote from? Oh, I got it from the it's an excerpt from the Wikipedia page. But if you type in the whole Scientology on Wikipedia, it says, a place of confinement and humiliation where Scientology's management culture, always demanding, grew extreme. Inside, a who's who of Scientology leadership went at each other with brutal tongue lashings and even hands and fists. They intimidated each other into crawling on their knees and standing in trash cans and confessing to things they haven't done. They lived in degrading conditions, eating and sleeping in cramped spaces designed for office use.
So it wasn't just like one person that, like,
No, there's multiple people in there.
That's fucking crazy. Cruel. That's like, they're like,
that's the dungeon.
That's insane.
And Scientology is like, oh no, the hole doesn't exist. That's not real. But Mike Rinder, again, who co-hosts the show, He had letters from Scientology addressed to him while he was in the hole. And it literally says, to Mike Rinder, address the hole. There's actual documents saying that the hole is where he is. He was. And he spent months in the hole. Other people have spent years. And one of the things that the church did is they would pull him out of the hole, get him cleaned up, and then throw him in front of the media and say, oh, everything's great. Everything's fine. Like, there's nothing, like, it's just fine. They were using him as, like, a puppet. And he said I think he lost count of how many times he had been beaten, like, well over 50. Mm-hmm. And he said that there's a number of church executives that are kept there that nobody talks about. So
that's definitely what happened to Shelley.
Numerous survivors, they have gone to the FBI. They, like, people who escaped the church, they showed them the hole. They showed them, you know, they had, like, government drones flying over. They're like, oh, that's what this building is. That's what they do here. Like, this is where the archives are kept that's designed mm-hmm. to be preserved even through a nuclear explosion. Like, this is everything you need to know. And so one of the things the FBI says, even though all these people have come forward, at the time of the show, like, they're like, during that specific interview, because I think the episode after, that's when I think there was enough generated. I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. But the FBI said, we need overwhelming evidence that something is wrong. But they did investigate Scientology back in 2009 because there was a report about the Sea Org. And what they wrote in their report was, members are trained to lie to law enforcement. They're being subjected to labor camps with limited contact with the outside world. And they're working 15-hour days.
That's overwhelming evidence of human rights violations.
And the Department of Justice filed no charges.
Because I am sure that they are right in their pockets with all of the money that they have.
Yep. Sure. So part of the reason there's this exception, I'm not going to be a lawyer. So I tried to, like, understand this law. So basically there's a ministerial exception to labor laws since Scientology is a church. And that's what I think their loophole was in getting out of this. And then Mark and Claire Headley, they actually filed a lawsuit for labor law violations against the Church of Scientology. And Claire said that she was coerced into having two abortions. And the court said, well, you had plenty of opportunity to leave Scientology, so we're going to dismiss the case. And then I think this ministerial exception, it basically prevents the government from involving in church decisions, I guess.
Yeah, that's literally scary.
Yeah. And it is believed that David's wife, Michelle, also known as Shelley, is in the hole. Because she hasn't been publicly seen since 2005.
It's just like, with the amount of security that there is, if they don't want a person to be seen or found, they will.
You're not
going to
be seen or found.
Oh my gosh. Like you said, it's for people to stay in there. Like, that golden base was built for people to stay in, yep. Not to keep people out.
So now we're going to go to Hollywood. So in 2006, it was a huge, huge deal when Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes got married. Mm-hmm. This was like the Yule Ball for Scientologists.
Right.
Like, this is our golden moment. This is a huge deal. Everybody important from Scientology is going to be there. And David Miscavige was there, but Shelley wasn't there.
Interesting.
And Leah Remini was at the wedding, and she's friends with Shelley. And she was like, oh, that's weird. Have you seen Shelley? That's weird. She's not here.
Right. Like, a wedding seems like a couple event for them as the leaders, I'm sure.
And she got severely punished for asking where Shelley was. And that's what started.
Oh, no.
That was like the catalyst for her starting to question things and eventually leaving the church. Mm-hmm. I think she did it in 2013. But like that was like the spark of something's not right.
Was she just sent to like the rehabilitation, the re-education camp, or?
I think they just gave her like a stern, and when I say stern, I mean a very harsh talking to, like, right. You don't have the authority.
I'm sure it was like threatening and shit.
Yeah, it was like, you don't have the authority to ask where she is, even though they were really good friends. Like, they were really good friends, but they're like, no, you don't have the rank or the right or the authority to ask these kinds of questions. Shut up. Because her and Shelly, they had been communicating by letters for years. Like, they were always mm-hmm. writing each other, and she thought it was weird that she never got a letter back from Shelly.
No.
And then she didn't hear anything for 6 years. And then she's like, something's not right. Mm-mm. Something is very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So Michelle, little Shelly, she was born January 18th, 1961. And when she was 12 years old, she became a Commodore's messenger and worked directly under Hubbard on the Apollo ship. She was one of the original messengers, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said earlier, people were completely okay with sending their young children onto this ship without their parents or anything because it was considered an honor. And basically, these kids were kind of taught to see Hubbard as their father figure. And I learned through one of the episodes that Hubbard even went to the guardian's office to try to look into the church, or like Hubbard himself adopting 10 and 11 year old kids to like grow the Commodores.
That's
scary. And the church, which is fucking sick.
Yeah.
And so in 1975, she followed Hubbard to La Quinta, California. And this is where she met David Miscavige. Like, they were both carrier Commodore messengers, but they didn't meet until mm-hmm. this point. This is when David was making the training films for Scientology. So in 78, David and Shelley started dating. And in 1982, they got married. Shelley was 21. David was 22. And this really stood out to me because it's just weird. So it's not really related to her disappearance, but it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird. So September 8th, 1985, Shelley's mother, Mary Florence Fike Barnett, died at 52 years old. She had been shot in the head. She had 3 gunshot wounds in her chest.
Oh my God.
And she also had slash marks on her wrist, but the autopsy and authorities said they happened a day or two before she died. So it was officially ruled a suicide.
3 gunshot wounds?
Yeah, I think it's on, where did I read the gunshot? It was, I think, on findagrave.com. Like, it had her obituary, and it was like, oh, she had 3 wounds to the chest. But it was like, one got stuck in her rib, or where is, let me pull this up. Okay, yeah. So one of them was a surface wound. One of them was found in a breast implant. And the other one passed through the left lung and fractured a rib.
Oof.
And it's weird because women don't really, it's more for men that they commit suicide with a gun
mm-hmm.
than women. And they're like, I couldn't really find anything about that.
Yeah.
It was weird.
That is weird.
So I thought
it's
would
like
just
some Umbrella Academy shit.
I need to watch the new season.
Very good, yeah.
I love Klaus. Little angel.
My man.
Been traumatized, but I love him. He needs the love. So, this has been, like, that just stood out, so I wanted to include it. So, with David Miscavige now in charge of the church, he's now COB. And Shelley becomes assistant to the COB. So
damn, she doesn't even get like a first lady type title.
Nah, she's it's just like Michael Scott and Dwight, assistant to the assistant manager, like damn. That kind of shit. Yoink. I would be like,
I would be.
Yeah, not she's so not mad. The first lady of Scientology. She's not the I don't know chairwoman. Like, no, she's the assistant.
I would be big hurt.
So. She's the assistant, so she can be questioned. She can be punished for questioning David like any other Scientology member. Or like any other Sea Org member that questions him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that they're married. She is still considered... She's up there, yeah. But she's technically beneath him.
Right.
So according to Mike Rindner, Shelley saw everything that David did. She never beat anyone. But she was always there, and she just had this vibe of, I have to be here, but I don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere completely different, but I have to be here.
Well, yeah, you just probably just fear keeping her there. Nobody wants to see that kind of shit.
Yeah, because it would get brutal. Like, David Miscavige is a tiny little fury.
Yeah.
He's really got that anger tucked in him.
Yeah.
Just... You know, how people box.
Catherine is making some sort of hand motion.
You know,
nothing like boxing.
So, on the show, they also interview Tom DeVock. Tom DeVock, I think. So, he worked with the Miscavige's, and he gave a little story time. He said that one day he was walking through... I think it was the Religious Technology Center, like one of those buildings with David and Shelley. And David just starts like rubbing his head. And he's like he's trying to think, like he has almost like he has a headache, but trying to think.
Right.
And he's like, Shelley, like, what did we do with the gold? Did we bury it? And Shelley had no idea what he was talking about. He's just sitting there going like, what did we do with the gold? Like, did we bury it? Like, what did we do with it, man? And so afterwards, Shelley called Tom up to her office, and it was one of those things where they had, I think Shelley just outright said that David is losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom said that he felt so relieved because, you know, like, you can't say that out loud, but right. Somebody said it out loud.
Right.
She had and it. She felt that, like, balls. David was reaching his breaking point. And because Shelley knows all of these secrets and has witnessed everything David Miscavige has done, she was also an original Commodore under L. Ron Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
So, with she his creepy father dynamic.
Like, she now has the upper
She hand. Is the rightful heir, if I dare say.
Yes.
She has seen what L. Ron Hubbard's Scientology was. She can clearly see that what David Miscavige is doing is not living up to the Scientology that L. Ron Hubbard wanted to have. And David is very insecure. Oh, he's an insecure little guy.
Paranoia ass motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a little paranoid, you know? And he is very insecure with his power and has this fear that someone's going to take over. Kind of like how he took over. And Shelley is that threat.
Right.
She worked under Hubbard. She saw how things have completely changed from, I guess, whatever his original vision was. And so while I was watching the show, they got a tip. And the tip was that there is a heavily guarded home that is across the entrance from the Church of Spiritual Technology. And there is armed guard 24/7. Someone is all like, they're assuming armed guard, but like there's always people there. Mm-hmm. like almost like they're hiding something. And so if Scientology has any highly sensitive matters that they have to take care of, they use a PI firm called Talon. and they believe that Talon is the group that is protecting this home, or guarding this home, really. They're guarding it. And for such a highly, you know, just anybody in Scientology, they don't get to use Talon. So they think that with this group involved, it has to be Shelly kept in that home.
Right. It has to be, like, the primo shit in there.
Mm-hmm.
The secret of all secrets.
Yes. Like, they're gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in 2013, this is when Leah Remini filed a missing persons report with the LAPD, reporting that Shelly Miscavige was missing. But you want to know how long the case was open?
How long?
They closed it after a few hours.
Why? Is it, like, did the police just say, like, she's a grown woman, just because she hasn't written to you or whatever doesn't mean she's missing?
No. They said that they had found Shelly and had talked to Shelly, and they closed the case.
Because they are bought. Bought.
But also, I think with Scientology, because they're so good at lying to the authorities, you know, they know that they can. It's almost like she's that pawn.
I don't know.
Like, nobody's people. That good. Like, they said that they spoke to her, that, and I couldn't really find anything else except the police report has been filed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they closed the case saying that they had talked to her. But there's no confirmation of where she is. So David's family. Oh, let's talk about David's family. So we got power-hungry little man in charge of the church. You would think his relatives would be up there with him in that power range.
No.
But they're not.
No.
Because most of them left the church.
Of course they did, because they saw that this shit was bats.
Do you know how batshit crazy you have to be for your dad to write a book about how batshit crazy you are?
Pretty batshit.
Because that's what Ron Miscavige Sr. did. He left the church and co-wrote a book about how fucking awful his son is and the abuses he's done. And then his brother, Ron Miscavige Jr., he was a Sea Org executive who left the church. Mm. His niece, Jenna Miscavige Hill, she also left the church and said, wow, this dude's pretty shitty, wrote another book about him and how shitty he is.
Damn, not your whole family.
His whole fucking family coming after him. And now his twin sister.
They David shared a twin womb. Sister.
They shared a womb, and they got two different kinds of crazy.
Clearly.
So Denise, I think it's Gentile. Denise Gentile. So I saw on the Wikipedia page that he had a sister, so I was going into more information about that. Because it said that she was involved with, like, tax fraud. But then when I Googled her name, you know, because Wikipedia is not a reliable source. You always gotta, you know, double check, kids. Reliable resources. Not Facebook. So I relied on the Daily Mail. Which I don't think is any better. But there were multiple articles about this. So she was arrested for having some marijuana. Which, that's not a big deal to me. Like, that's not,
right? it is.
Not a huge deal. But in Scientology? Oh. So on their website, the only drugs they allow are prescription medications if you are physically ill.
Right, you can't be mentally.
Right, if you are physically ill, you can take a drug. But if you're mentally ill, that's not real. It's an alibi. It's no longer needed. So, but also, if you have a family member that's using drugs, you have to disconnect with them, which cut off all contact, shun them, because drugs are bad. They are very, very bad. Like, it's like appalling that you would even do that. So apparently Tracy was having some fun. Because she owned a house, but she was renting it out to people. and her tenants turned it into a drug house for weed. And she was cool with it.
I mean,
it said in the article that if they didn't have money to like pay the utility bills, they would give her weed and she'd be like, all right, we're cool.
She was a stoner.
Yeah, but she got pulled over. I think she was driving while like intoxicated or under the influence. And they also found 9 joints in her car. So that was another reason for the arrest.
9 seems excessive, but okay.
Yeah, she was really, yeah. But then in 2019, a lawsuit is filed, or a series of lawsuits, I should say. So Tracy McManus of the Tampa Bay Times reported that a series of lawsuits were being filed against the church and David Miscavige. On behalf of defectors who say they suffered a range of exploitation from child abuse, human trafficking, and forced labor to revenge tactics related to the church's fair game policy.
What's that?
It's like open season. So the policy says
like
that people...
the purge?
Yeah. People, but not like... We're talking more of like... spiritual, it's and bullying kind of purge, you know? Oh, we're not murdering people, we're just gonna bully the hell out of them.
Okay.
And probably more if they can legally do it. Because by definition, these people are judged to be a threat to the church and according to the policy can be punished and harassed using any and all means possible.
Yeah, that sounds pretty purgy.
Yes. And this whole article, I'm just going to read it because it fully encompasses so many traumas that people have gone through with Scientology. This is that same article by Tracy McManus. The Church of Scientology presents a facade to the outside world to disguise what in reality is nothing more than a cult built on mind control and the destruction of the independence and self-control of those drawn into its sphere, the lawsuit states. Members are isolated from the outside world, their access to information is heavily monitored and controlled, and they are subjected to physical, verbal, psychological, emotional, and/or sexual abuse and/or assault. The lawsuit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court on behalf of an unnamed Jane Doe, born in 1979, outlines her lifetime of alleged suffering in Scientology, where she was subjected as a child at the Clearwater headquarters to abuse inherent to auditing. Scientology's spiritual counseling that can more resemble interrogation. She states she joined the church's clergy-like Sea Org in California at 15, where people worked 100 hours a week for $46. She was at times held against her will. When she officially left Scientology in 2017, Doe was followed by private investigators and terrorized by the church as it published a hate website, falsely stating she was an alcoholic dismissed from the sect for promiscuity, according to the complaint. Doe was born into a Scientology family and lived at the church's international spiritual headquarters in Clearwater from ages 6 to 12 as a member of the Cadet Org, the organization's clergy for children. She then endured military-like conditions where she worked and cleaned from 8 a.m. to midnight without proper schooling, according to the complaint. At the age of 10, the complaint states Doe was subjected to bull baiting, a practice used to teach people how to not react to any insult, threat, or inappropriate comment. This technique is taught to members learning how to conduct auditing, Scientology spiritual counseling, where subjects are interrogated in order to clear the reactive mind, which the church says holds trauma and pain from past lives. During this process, adults would say vulgar and sexually explicit things to children and punish them if they showed any visible reaction.
Ew.
The lawsuit states, adding the practice falls within California's definition of child abuse. Doe was forced, at the age of 10 years old, to sit in a chair where adults screamed things in her face, such as, I'm going to fuck you and then your mother.
Stop, please. Stop
the lawsuit states Scientology's institutional practices that demand secrecy and prohibit members from contacting law enforcement have kept victims from coming forward even longer than victims of abuse in the Catholic and Jehovah's Witness denominations. Some phones within Scientology facilities are incapable of dialing 911, according to the lawsuit. Hubbard taught that spirit light entities called Thetans are reincarnated into bodies, meaning there are no children, only adults in the bodies of children. No. In 1994, at age 15, Joe joined the Sea Org, Scientology's clergy-like workforce for teenagers and adults who signed billion-year contracts with the sect. She moved to Scientology's gold base in California and became a steward for Miscavige, working with him personally 7 days a week, according to the lawsuit. Miscavige's relationship with his wife, Shelley, became increasingly hostile in 2005, and Shelley Miscavige was removed as his assistant in the gold base, according to the lawsuit. Because of her insight into the relationship, Doe was forced into the hole, a set of double-wide trailers where senior executives accused of ethics violations are held in isolation, according to the lawsuit. After 3 months in the hole and 3 months of manual labor, the lawsuit states Doe was assigned to work on promotional videos. The non-Scientology actors on set became her only connection to the outside world. Doe requested leave from her superiors but was denied. On one occasion, she was physically restrained from leaving, according to the complaint. In November 2016, Doe escaped by hiding in the trunk of a non-Scientologist actor's car as it left Gold Base.
I'm honestly surprised they allowed outside actors in.
I guess that's their way of saying, hey, we're normal. Like, that's their pass at saying, oh, we're normal. There's nothing suspicious here.
But apparently videos like you could have just gotten somebody that's a Scientologist to act like they weren't Scientologists.
Yeah.
That's just such a big risk to take. That's so stupid.
Yeah. And I think too, because I'm pretty sure that this correlates with an episode of Leah Remini's show. Mm-hmm. And I believe this person said that sometimes cars would be inspected before the non-Scientologist actors left. And that's how she escaped. And that's how she did it.
That's crazy.
But that's just like one of many horror stories that
have
come
out. That's literally so traumatic. Oh my gosh.
Yep. And all these celebrities are in it. Like Laura Pepperon. Hold on. Let me look at active members. Yeah, Tom Cruise, Christy Alley. Hold on.
Well, they're probably just treated like royalty, so.
And yeah, like Juliette Lewis. Like,
they're probably just like surface level members as far as like they're just treated, you know, they just get to... they get showed all the pretty stuff that they don't even have to worry about seeing any ugly stuff. So, like, they're just like, figureheads.
I think Danny Masterson was born into it. I think Elizabeth Moss was born into it.
So,
like,
wait,
Stanley Kubrick's daughter is in it.
What happened with Shelley's case? Like, whatever happened after they closed her case after a couple hours?
That's it.
And these lawsuits that were filed... what became of them?
I don't think there was an update.
Oh, did you say that was only in 2017?
2019.
2019, I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's like...
Oh my God, will we see the takedown of Scientology in our lifetime? I sure as fuck hope so.
Was it dismissed? Because I have an article here by the same author as the article I read out loud. Okay, so this is a different lawsuit saying that this woman experienced sexual abuse as a child in their, like, Clearwater Academy, which is, I guess, where they keep the kids of Scientology. So, yeah, there's multiple lawsuits.
Right. So nothing came of it, though?
I don't know if COVID maybe delayed it, and that's why there wasn't an update. Mm. Let's see. Let me try to narrow this down. Because it's all, like, the Danny Masterson's, like, rape cases. Yeah, I don't see an update for it, because it was an anonymous... But yeah, apparently the Church of Scientology was also investigated by the FBI for human trafficking. But I've reached my article limit for the month, so it won't let me read it.
It'd be like that sometimes.
I just want to educate myself. Oh yeah, this is just another article of the same thing. But yeah, it's... They're like, we found Shelley, we talked to her, so... They basically said the case, like, the reason they dismissed it so quickly was, one, they talked to her, and I guess they found evidence that there was no need to file a missing persons report, but
yeah.
And you don't hear from someone for 6 years, and you never see them.
David Miscavige ever, like, spoken about this publicly? Like, has he ever?
I don't think so. Let's see.
They didn't even try to put up a front, like, do some... staged photos of Shelly somewhere.
Not even that, like, David Miscavige's father came out and said that it's likely that Shelly is being held against her will.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, she's alive.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, with a church... Like, with an organization so obsessed with its, like, reputation and the way it looks,
mm-hmm.
you would think that...
Oh, yeah, you would try think.
To do, like, some sort of PR, like...
Like a Christmas card.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and you Photoshop Shelly in, and you're like, oh, there she is, she's fine. She's exactly posing there. In that same pose, like, in the same dress for the last, you know, 15 years.
Yeah, it's just, like, I don't understand this... public figure hasn't been seen in 6 years and you just dismiss it. Like, that's fishy. That's funky.
Yes, it is. This whole...
Scientology is fucked.
It is.
And if we are not back for another 3 or 4 weeks, it is...
This time it was Scientology.
Yeah. This time it won't be because our lives are spiraling. It will be
because... It'll be because our lives have gotten better. We've improved ourselves. And then Scientology comes knocking on our door.
Yeah.
Like, oh. But we also don't have to open the door. You know?
But what if they use somebody that's close to us?
Aren't we the only people?
I don't know. They might bribe some people or something. I don't know.
These motherfuckers
are capable of
that. True. Are they going to bring my third grade teacher? I don't know who they could... who they're going to find on my end. Because I know my family would be like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, ew, no, yeah. Get away. Get out of here with that, you rascal. And that's the case of Shelly. And Scientology.
It was just like a smorgasbord of everything. Like, it wasn't even...
Yes.
Like Shelly.
Of where Shelly? Scientology. Scientology's foundings. The beliefs of Scientology. And how Gold Base is a prison.
Oh my. There's a lot to unpack here.
It is. That's why it was so... So much research.
Yeah.
I kept putting off and I was like, oh god. Another rabbit hole. So many rabbit holes.
So many.
I don't even know what to do for the ABCs of crime.
I don't know. There was literally so much once There's again.
Literally so much. Oh, we should do it.
Yeah. So after much deliberation, Catherine and I think we have landed on a good little ABCs of crime this week.
Yeah.
So this week's episode is brought to you by the letter D for David Farquaad, because they're really just the same rat, hateful little people.
Nothing against short people, but... I just looked it up online for my own amusement, but David Farquaad is 4'6".
Lord Farquaad was 4'6".
Did I say David Farquaad?
David Miscavige was 5'3", or is 5'3".
Is 5'3". Lord Farquaad is 4'6". So I think it would be very interesting to see the MMA fight between the two. Yes. But I think we're just going to have to rely on our face mash of Lord David Farquaad, who he would just... I mean, he's got two jawlines going on at once.
I can't wait.
He could do some serious crimson chin damage that
on Instagram.
It's just going to be that photo, nothing else.
No other case photos are relevant. Just David Farquaad.
Oh, I'm tickled by this.
I'm so tickled. And if you are also tickled, you should follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, at ms.murder_podcast, where you can see God's creation of David Farquaad.
Yes. And on our Facebook.
Ms. Murder. And if you really, really dig us, then you'll dig our merch shop.
Yes.
We now have a shop on TeePublic.
TeePublic t-shirt or a hoodie in an assortment of colors. Get a mug.
All right. We got t-shirts.
I got a little journal.
I got mine too. It's so cute.
It's so cute in pink.
Yes,
I love
we got the t-shirts, we got the hoodies, we got the notebooks, the pillows, the totes, the pins.
The mugs.
The mugs.
We got everything that you could ever want, pretty much. If you're tickled by us and our creation, our godly creation of David Farquaad.
Should we make David Miscavige our Lord?
Do a David Farquaad merch shirt. Okay. Be on the lookout for the David Farquaad shirt. It's coming to you soon. It will literally just be those two more, that picture of the morph faces on a t-shirt.
Oh, I love it.
But yes, I'm serious. We're doing this.
We're going to make that a thing.
Can we get in trouble for that? No, right? Like, this is America. Like, freedom of speech, right?
I mean, I never thought that one day I would grow up, or both of us would grow up and then bully David Miscavige.
I love it for us. We're like that nanny.
That's what we're going to brag about. I guess because some people, the only thing really they got to look forward to is the high school reunion. I'm not one of those, but I think about how I would outshine my bullies. This is one of them.
Yes.
This is going to be my highlight.
David Miscavige.
It doesn't matter. College, career, it doesn't matter. I bullied. We bullied David Miscavige on the internet.
We bullied David Miscavige into revealing where the fuck Shelly was. Where is she, David? Where?
We're all going to wear our t-shirts. We're all just going to stand around Scientology.
No, we're going to stand around Scientology.
You know, we're just going to...
We're going to stand around Golden Base.
Yeah.
With our arms surrounding the compound.
Like the tethered.
Yes,
we are going to be the tethered. Was it Hands Across America? Wasn't that what it was called?
Hands Across America.
I'm pretty sure it was Hands Across America. We're going to have the little holding hands.
Okay, we're going to have. Okay, this is the t-shirt design. Picture it with me. Picture it. We got the David Miscavige shirt, right with his face.
Yes,
and on top of the image is a bunch of little paper holding hand people. Very meta. Very meta. I dig it.
it'll
just be his face. I am just...
It'll just
under the influence.
It'll just be our little David Farquaad.
Yeah.
No context. And they're going to be like, what the fuck are these people doing? Do they want to join us? I don't understand.
I love it.
No, we're just two gals with a dream of bullying a cult leader. We should put that on a t-shirt.
That's a t-shirt
right there.
No, that's what our podcast description
is. That our new motto? Now.
Our new podcast description. We're not just Kat and Julie doing what they do best, talk about crime. We're Kat and Julie doing what they do best,
bullying
cult leaders and talking about crime.
I'm going to add that in parentheses.
Yes.
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 I love this for us.
I'm having a great time.
This is so much fun.
Literally, our minds. So, order our shit.
Yeah.
Keep listening. Keep tuning
follow
in.
Follow our shit.
I have no
but
idea.
Don't
what
like
I'm
follow
do.
Follow us like Scientology no, follows.
Don't do yeah, don't just, do that. That's not cool.
Just hit the little button.
Hit that little
that's all
button.
You gotta do.
And tune in next week, and we'll see what I do my case on because I have no idea.
Woo!
Good night.